Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Civil Rights Coalition and Impacted Plaintiffs Discuss Immigration Ban. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note this call may be recorded. I'll be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn today's program over to Jesse Bless, Director of Litigation at the American Immigration Lawyers Association. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. My name is Jesse Bless. I am the Director of Federal Litigation at the American Immigration Lawyers Association. Prior to my role, I served under the Trump administration at the Department of Justice at the Office of Immigration Litigation, and worked in Boston, where I am from, at a immigration law firm. So I've transcended this administration's effort to really build what we at AILA call the invisible wall. And we've now reached a stage where they're accelerating their attempts to restrict any form of immigration, whether it's humanitarian relief, protection for refugees, immigrant visas, and what we know was coming with regard to students and non-immigrant workers in the upcoming days. This lawsuit that we're going to talk about today regarding the April 22nd proclamation on the immigrant ban really is a function or came out of the prior litigation on the healthcare insurance proclamation that I had the honor of working on with some of the speakers you'll hear from today that I will introduce. That was a proclamation under the catchphrase 212F, what we've all been talking about, which is an INA provision that gives the president some authority to suspend the entry of people coming from abroad, but does not give him a blank check as far as we see it. So, you know, we know the stories are out there. You've written them. You know, this country is the melting pot. We are better and stronger because of the immigration policy that we've had and we've always had. It's a family-first system that also encourages entrepreneurs and businesses to hire abroad, whether it's Madeleine Albright or Albert Einstein or Elon Musk. We've benefited. We will continue to do so despite the moment we're in now. So, you know, AILA has 15,000 attorneys. I have the honor and distinction of being their first director of litigation and joining the fray to make sure that this administration is not successful and their attempt to build that wall. We've had success. We're going to continue to have more. Any success that I have is really a function of some of the people who you're going to hear from today. First, we're going to hear from Karen Tumlin, who is an absolute brightest star on civil rights and immigration litigation. She founded the Justice Action Center. We'll hear from her first. Then we're going to actually talk to or hear from one of our plaintiffs in this immigration proclamation whose daughter has now been granted a national interest exception for the proclamation and will enter before turning 21 years of age. I'd like to take all the credit for that, but she has a great attorney. She's had help from Senator Gillibrand, but really, what really helped her daughter obtain the visa was this litigation, unfortunately, honestly, because it shouldn't come to that. And there are many others who need or who do not have the benefits of having to go to court every time or can do that. So we'll hear from her. Her name is Myrna. And finally, we're going to talk to another one of just the champions out there on the litigation scene, Nadia Dahab at the Innovation Law Lab. I cannot say enough good things about Ms. Dahab. She is one of, if not the best, young, bright, all-star litigators in the country. and she's going to fill you in on what I have left out, but no doubt tell another story for one of our plaintiffs who has now received a national interest exception to the proclamation. So with that, let me turn it over to Ms. Tumlin, and we will reconvene. Thank you. Operator? Hello?
Yes, sir. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, hi. Karen Tumlin is trying to get on, and she's saying that she's been put on hold.
And okay, I'm sorry about that.
All she's hearing is music. Yep.
Gotcha. Bear with me one moment. I do apologize. I'll go ahead and grab that line and place her right back in.
Thank you. Yeah, Ms. Tumlin is actually having a moment here. So, Nadia, if you are here with us, could you jump on and then we'll go to Karen?
Yeah, absolutely, Jesse. Thank you. I'll start by perhaps telling one of our plaintiff stories, one of the compelling family stories that we've seen as a result of the litigation. Maybe touch a little bit on next steps of the litigation and then pass it to Karen when she's here. One of our plaintiffs in this lawsuit, Domingo Araguin Gomez, has a very compelling family story that has been impacted tremendously by this proclamation. Mr. Gomez lives here in the United States with his wife and several of their children, but when his wife came to the United States on the visa that he had sponsored for her, their now 20-year-old daughter, Alondra, stayed behind because the family didn't have the financial support to sponsor all of their children on her application. Alondra is a working mom to a 4-year-old son, and her son is a U.S. citizen. She works, and before classes were canceled because of the pandemic, she was also going to school. Alondra had always planned to come to the United States from Mexico as soon as she was able, so that she and her son could be closer to their family, who she really depends on for support and childcare. Alondra is now about to turn 21, so when we filed this lawsuit, she was in a very, very difficult position. If she couldn't get the emergency visa interview and prove that she fell within the exception to the proclamation, Alondra would have faced decades, for her essentially a lifetime, of separation from her family. Meanwhile, the U.S. consulate in Mexico repeatedly had denied her request for that interview, incorrectly thinking that she was protected from the consequences of turning 21. Had this coalition not filed this lawsuit, there's no way that she would have gotten her interview or that she would have been issued a visa and been able to show the consulate that she fell within the national interest exception to the proclamation. Because we did, Alondra was issued that visa on Tuesday, so she and her son will be able to be reunited with the rest of their family. Alondra and Myrna, who you'll hear from later, are just a few examples of the potentially devastating consequences that this proclamation will have, the devastating consequences that it certainly has had on families worldwide. I'm going to turn it over to Karen now, hopefully she's back in the conference line, who will talk about the next steps for this litigation. We have a hearing next week that will determine whether the current proclamation will continue to apply to kids like Alondra and to families like Myrna's. Karen, are you there?
Thank you so much, Nadia. I apologize for that mishap. It was definitely an exciting way to start the morning. I'd like to talk a little bit more about the litigation and why we filed this lawsuit. The presidential proclamation that was issued on April 22nd, 2020 is yet another Trump administration effort designed to do nothing more than keep families separated. This is why we and others are calling it an immigration ban. The president's immigration ban claims to be necessary in order to assist with the country's COVID-related economic recovery. It doesn't give us any evidence whatsoever why banning young people like our plaintiffs will lift the country's ailing economy. And worse, we know that immigrant families want what we all want during this pandemic, to be together with their families as we all try to make our way through this difficult period. So our lawsuit was filed to protect young people like Alondra. They are U.S. citizens, it was filed on behalf of U.S. citizens or lawful permanent residents who have been petitioning the United States government for their children to join them in the United States. And so what we have asked for is for the United States District Court in D.C. to protect these families from the harm that is being caused by President Trump's immigration ban, and that will force many of these children to backtrack for years or even for their entire lifetime in the visa application process. So let me explain what that means. These children are at risk of what's called aging out through the U.S. immigration process. What that means is if they turn age 21 before they have their visa in hand and are able to enter the United States, they lose their chance to secure the visa and the line they've been patiently waiting for. And I want to be clear about this. Our plaintiffs, many of them, have already been waiting outside of the United States for years to finally get their chance to come in. And then what happens is the president, very intent on trying to rewrite the nation's immigration laws, implements its immigration ban with 30 hours of notice. And these children who have been waiting in line often for years are suddenly faced with a total shutdown on their ability to get that visa and finally join their families. And that's why we have taken this immigration ban to court. Our plaintiffs, if they don't get that visa by the time they hit age 21, will fall back into a totally separate category if one is even available to them. And that can mean sometimes a wait of 7 decades. It does not take fancy math to understand that 70 years to a 20-year-old can be a lifetime, not only for them, but definitely for the parent that they're so desperate to reunite with. Now, I want to be clear about the intentions behind this immigration ban. This ban is nothing more than Trump's latest effort to rewrite the country's immigration laws to achieve his longstanding goal of reducing immigration from non-white countries. The president and his advisor, Stephen Miller, are using the cover and the crisis of a global pandemic to further their own anti-family and xenophobic immigration agenda. And we have no intention of standing for that. So what is worse, and this is something we can talk about in questions, many news outlets have reported that this is only the tip of the iceberg for what the administration plans to do with the immigration ban, that we can expect either late this week or sometime next week that the ban is extended both in the amount of time it is in place, but in its substantive scope, and that it will not then keep even more families apart and threaten the ability of businesses in the United States to fuel our economic recovery. So I appreciate all of you taking the time to be with us today to talk about this lawsuit and the ban, and I'll turn it back over to Jesse.
Thank you, Karen. And now we're going to hear from one of our plaintiffs whose daughter, as I mentioned, received that national interest exception and will be entering the United States before she had aged out and would have spent years before being able to reunite with her mother. Her mother is a tremendous, tremendous person who's fought for everything she's earned in this country through her own hard work and dedication and perseverance. I'm going to turn it over to Ramon, who will be interpreting for her. But I really can't express how grateful I am to have the opportunity to help good people like Ms. Myrna. Thank you.
Okay, Myrna, cuando esté lista.
Mi nombre es Myrna. Tengo 3 hijos, un varón y 2 hembras, mi madre y un hermano discapacitado con microcefalia que dependen de mí.
Hi, my name is Myrna. I'm a single mother of 2 girls and 1 boy. I'm also responsible for taking care of my mother and my disabled brother who suffers from microcephaly.
Hace aproximadamente 15 años tuve que emigrar a los Estados Unidos debido a la situación que estaba pasando.
About 15 years ago, I came to the United States because of a difficult situation that I was experiencing.
El papá de mi hija mayor me dejó cuando se enteró de que estaba embarazado.
The father of my youngest child left me as soon as he realized that I was pregnant.
A los pocos meses, conocí el papá de mis dos menores hijos, que era mayor que yo por 7 años.
A few months after that, I met the father of my two youngest children, who was older than me by 7 years.
Era muy celoso, me pegaba y me encerraba en la casa. Pasé una vida horrible.
He was very jealous. He would lock me in the house. It was a very terrible life. And he was very abusive.
Mis hijos le tenían mucho miedo. Les pegaba y los castigaba desde bebés.
My children were very afraid of him. He would punish them. He would hit them from the time that they were babies.
A mí siempre me tenía muy golpeada. Y cuando tenía la oportunidad de escaparme, iba a la policía.
I was always covered in bruises and injuries, and whenever I had the opportunity, I would go to the police to try to file a police report.
Pero nunca me ayudaron. Solo me decían que eran golpes que no tardaban más de 8 días en sanar.
But they wouldn't help me. All they would tell me is that no matter what injuries I had, they would say that the injuries would heal, that I'd be fine within a week.
Cuando en realidad las lesiones sí eran graves. Y tengo hasta cicatrices de las lesiones.
When in reality, the injuries were very extreme, I actually still have scars from those injuries.
Sí, tenía mucho miedo porque él, aparte, siempre ha portado armas, siempre ha tenido armas en casa.
And it was very scary. He's a man that also carries weapons at home.
Al final, el papá de mis hijos me dejó por irse con la esposa de mi hermano. Y quedé sola con 3 hijos menores.
At the end of that difficult situation, he actually left me for the wife of my brother, and left me with my 3 children to raise.
Y por eso emigré a los Estados Unidos para poderles dar una vida mejor a mis hijos.
And that is why I came to the United States, to be able to give my children a better life.
Llegando a los Estados Unidos, trabajé 7 días de la semana. Solo pensaba en ganar dinero para mandarle a mi familia.
Once I was here in the United States, I worked 7 days a week. My only goal in life was to be able to support and provide for my children.
Meses después conocí un hombre que yo pensé que era bueno y me junté con él.
Months after being in the United States, I also met a man who I thought was good in the beginning, and we started a relationship.
Al paso del tiempo, comenzaron los golpes y los insultos. Pero a diferencia de mi país,
But after some time, it also took a downturn, and he also became abusive, and the abuse began.
Pero a diferencia de mi país, la policía sí me ayudó y me dieron una orden de restricción.
But unlike in my country, when I went to the police here, they did help me. They even gave me a restraining order.
La fiscal del caso me ayudó mucho y fui al psicólogo.
I worked with the prosecutor in the case who also helped me a lot, and they even connected me with a psychologist.
Me ayudaron a sacar, debido a eso, me ayudaron a sacar una visa de por violencia doméstica, la visa U.
And because of that, I was also able to obtain a U visa, a visa for victims of domestic violence.
Uh, Ahí tuve la oportunidad de pedir a mis tres hijos.
Through that, I was able to petition, I began to hope to petition for my three children.
Pero por ser menores de edad, no pude sacar su pasaporte.
But because they were not of age, they were not adults, I was unable to get their passports.
Yo no podía hacer nada porque no tenía la guardia y custodia de mis hijos. Tenía que pedirle permiso al papá para poderlo sacar del país.
It was a difficult process because I didn't have full guardianship and I needed to get their father's permission for them to leave the country to come to the United States.
Ya estando en los Estados Unidos, me enteré de que el papá de mis dos hijos menores me había violado a mi hija mayor.
Once I was already in the United States, I discovered that the father of my youngest children had raped my eldest daughter.
Cuando mis hijos fueron creciendo, su papá los seguía, pero más a mi hija menor.
Once we were in the United States, I would hear that the abusive father of my children was still looking for my children and would follow them, especially my youngest daughter.
Le decía que ya estaba creciendo y que ya pronto se iba a ir con él.
He would tell her that she was getting older and that soon she would come and live with him.
Que ya le servía. Él veía como mujer, no como hija, a mi hija menor.
He saw her not as his daughter, but as a woman who he could target.
Mi hija menor le tiene mucho miedo.
My youngest daughter is very fearful of him.
Ahora mi hija va a cumplir 21 años, pero no puede ir a la universidad como todos los adolescentes.
My daughter is close to turning 21, but she is unable to go to university like all of the other kids, like one would normally.
Ella tiene que estudiar la universidad por en línea debido al miedo que le tiene.
She has to take classes online through that university because of that fear that she lives with.
Ella tiene mucho miedo de que le haga lo mismo que a su hermana, que la viole o se la lleve lejos, donde no podamos volver a verla.
She lives in fear of the situation and of him, and fears that something could happen to her, that she could disappear, or that he could do what he did to her older sister.
Debido a que él busca a mi hija, yo tengo que estarlo cambiando constantemente de casa.
Because of this dangerous situation, I'm constantly having to move them from one apartment to another.
Es por eso más mi urgencia de llevarme a mi hija a los Estados Unidos.
That is why I have so much urgency in reuniting with my daughter and bringing her to the United States.
Creo que en los Estados Unidos mis hijos van a tener la seguridad que no tienen en mi país.
I believe that being in the United States, my children will have the opportunities and the safety that they don't have in their country now.
En los Estados Unidos uno puede confiar en la policía porque sabemos que nos ayudan. En mi país no.
In the United States, I'm able to live in safety because we all know that the police are there to help. In my country, that is not the case.
Hace aproximadamente 3 años tuve la oportunidad de llevarme a mi hija mayor y ya está conmigo en los Estados Unidos.
About 3 years ago, I was able to help petition my oldest daughter, who is now here in the United States with me.
Y su vida cambió por completo. Ya no tiene miedos y hace una vida normal que nunca hubiera hecho en México.
And I've seen the difference that it has made now that she's here in the United States. She's recovered and lived a life that she would not have been able to have in Mexico.
Tiene una pareja que la quiere y la respeta y tiene un bebé de 10 meses.
She's with someone now who loves her and respects her, and she has a baby who's 10 months old now.
y tiene muchos deseos de seguir adelante y terminar su carrera universitaria en los Estados Unidos.
And this oldest daughter has dreams now and is working and has dreams of going back to university to continue a career.
A pesar de que en México le habían dicho que ella nunca iba a poder tener un bebé por debido a la violación que sufrió.
And all of this is despite the fact that in Mexico she had been told that she would not be able to have a baby ever because of the rape that she had suffered.
Ahora hace una vida normal y ya no tiene miedos ni tiene muchas aspiraciones estando lejos de México.
She's now living a life that is normal, and she is living a life that is safe, something that she could not have had in Mexico, unfortunately.
Eso es lo que quiero para mis dos otros hijos, que estén lejos del peligro que hay en mi país.
That is exactly what I want for my other two children, for them to live in safety, away from the dangers that exist in my country.
Y puedan salir adelante, puedan estudiar y puedan hacer una vida normal.
I want them to be able to live in safety. I want them to be able to work and go to school and live a normal life.
Mi hijo varón cumplió los 21 años en México y ahora no sé cuándo pueda ir a los Estados Unidos.
Unfortunately, my son turned 21 in Mexico, and I have no idea when he'll be able to come reunite with us in the United States.
Mi hija menor, gracias a la ayuda de los abogados, pudo pedir una visa de inmigrante.
However, my youngest daughter, with the help of our lawyers, was able to petition for an immigrant visa.
Ella tenía la última entrevista en Ciudad Juárez y yo tuve que venir a México a acompañarla.
She had her last interview in Ciudad Juárez in Mexico, and I had to go and travel with her.
Debido a que Ciudad Juárez es una ciudad muy violenta.
Because again, Ciudad Juárez is an extremely violent city.
En la entrevista, el oficial de inmigración le dijo que ella cumplía con todos los requisitos para la visa.
At that interview, she was told by an officer that she met all of the requirements for the visa.
Pero que por la orden que había dado el presidente, no se la podían dar.
But because of this proclamation or this order that the president had passed, they would not be able to give her the visa.
Yo me siento con muchos sentimientos encontrados porque mi hija no puede ir.
I'm extremely heartbroken at the fact that this had happened and that this process had been altered because of this order.
Porque no puede ser que después de tantos años luchando para poder sacar a mi hija de México.
Because I find it so difficult to believe that after so many years of fighting to be able to bring my daughter out of Mexico.
No sea posible que por fin pueda estar conmigo y formar la familia que nunca hemos podido formar por la orden que dio el presidente.
It makes me so emotional to think that after so much fighting, we almost would not have been able to be together because of this decision of the president.
Los inmigrantes venimos a trabajar y aportar para la economía de los Estados Unidos.
We, the immigrants, come to the United States to work hard, and we are people that support the economy.
No venimos a robarles empleos a los americanos, como dice el presidente.
We're not here to steal jobs, like I've heard the president say.
Es triste que el señor Donald Trump sea tan racista y nos tache de gente mala.
It makes me sad to know that President Trump says things that are racist and thinks of us as people that are bad.
Cuando solo queremos trabajar y tener la oportunidad de vivir sin miedos y sin carencias.
When all we want is to be able to live somewhere that's safe and to be able to work and live normally. Gracias, Mirna.
El hecho de que... ¿Ya? Okay.
Thanks, Jess. ¿Eso es todo mismo o quieres decir algo más?
No, es todo.
Okay, that's it, Jesse. Thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure. I think that was powerful, and it's really, like I said, it's the joy of all of our teams and really AILA as an organization to be able to reach down and help people at an individual level. But I really want to leave the opportunity now and turn it over for questions. Feel free to ask any one of the speakers a question, and we'll be here to answer. Thank you.
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, that is star and one. And we'll take our first question from Beth Furtick with WNYC Radio. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much. I understand, Myrna, you live in New York City. Could you please tell us a little bit more about what happened with bringing your daughter to the United States? Is she here now, and how did that happen?
Would one of the litigators like to answer that, or would you like me to translate for Mizna? I don't think she was ready to take questions.
That's right. I can answer that. This is Karen, and others can chime in. Myrna's wanted to provide a statement today, but not wasn't prepared to take questions. So what happened with her daughter is originally she was able to secure, as Myrna said, an emergency interview at the consulate in Ciudad Juarez. And Myrna traveled to Mexico to be with her for that interview. She didn't want her to travel alone. Unfortunately, at that interview, that she was denied a visa and was told that was due to the presidential proclamation. We had already filed the lawsuit at that time. Myrna's daughter presented the officer with a copy of the lawsuit in that interview and was still denied. After we then had hearings with the court on the lawsuit, including Myrna and her daughter, she was granted a second interview by the consulate. She then had to travel a second time for that interview. And this time she was granted what's called a national interest exception to the presidential proclamation, which is a way of saying on the first time, even though the lawsuit had been filed, she did not qualify, but the second time around, she did qualify. She was able to get her visa and is really looking forward to being reunited with her mom.
All right, and as a reminder,
do we have other questions?
Yes, ma'am. Looks like we'll take our next question from Julia Preston with the Marshall Project. Please go ahead.
Yes.
Your line is open.
Yes, hi. Thank you for this call. Can you just bring us up to date on where you stand with the litigation? Are you filing some sort of new filings or motions? Or I'm just a little confused about this call and how it relates to the process of the litigation that you're undertaking.
Sure thing. This is Jesse Bless. I can take that. So we have filed a motion for a temporary restraining order in the District of Columbia. We have a hearing on that motion next week, June 17th. As you have heard, the government has taken measures to effectively moot out two of our named plaintiffs, but we have another plaintiff who is in a very similar situation where he will, it's the grandson of our plaintiff who will turn 21 on June 30th. Now, between today and our hearing that's scheduled next week, I personally expect a new proclamation. The government has until June 22nd to renew this immigrant ban. Despite the economy being on a rocket ship, I expect that he will renew the proclamation for at least 120, if not 180 more days, which will allow us to bring in, and we would love help with getting the word out for more plaintiffs, including the one we already have. Just to give you an example, anyone seeking a diversity visa who was selected for this year's lottery, once this proclamation is renewed, all those diversity visas that are now available, those they will lose the opportunity on October 1st if they do not have their interview. And this is people that Congress has selected for inclusion in our country because we don't have enough representatives from that home country. They're hardworking people. They've gone through all the steps to get their visa, but for this proclamation. So TRO motion hearing is scheduled next week. A lot's going to change between now and then, and hopefully we'll have plaintiffs that are joining us either before then or shortly thereafter.
Can I follow up on that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so these exemptions that the administration is providing, that's on an individual basis. It's not, is this in response to something that you are asking for specifically in the complaint that more of these exemptions be issued? Or do you see this as the administration trying to do an end run around your complaint?
That's a great question for them, and we should have invited them on the call maybe. But I've seen enough to know in my government experience that the first thing we do as government attorneys is try to moot out sympathetic plaintiffs. They did that here as far as I'm concerned, and they'll continue to do it. But at the individual level, that's where those visas are issued, and the national interest exception waivers. I want to make a point on that. While that catchphrase is out there, nobody from the government has told us what qualifies. They haven't issued any guidance. They've said professional athletes are in our national interest, but that doesn't really help with the children of U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents. So to circle back to your question, it's on an individual level. We believe it was for our two plaintiffs, it was due to their sympathetic situation and a really unwillingness to confront the unlawfulness of the proclamation. Now, again, once this is renewed, it's going to be difficult for them. Hey, listen, if they want to moot out all the children, God bless them. If they want to moot out every diversity visa applicant, God bless them. Let's do it. But until then, we're going to be taking on the challenge to get to the bottom of it, because there's no rationale that makes sense between the rocket ship economy that we're purportedly on and the need to ban all immigrants including children.
Okay, thank you.
And it appears we have no further questions in queue at this time.
Well, with that, I guess I'll finish up and just thank everyone for their time, including everyone who spoke today. A special thanks to Myrna and Ramon for interpreting. That was the best thing I heard all day. And I want to thank everyone for joining us today. And if you need to contact us with any follow-up questions, I believe you have the information for our respective comms teams. Please reach out to them. Happy to talk offline. Thank you very much.